You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Canby Foursquare Church, wherever you are, and I really mean that because we're probably scattered abroad right now. We're just doing an online service this morning for obvious reasons. Primarily because up until last night, we, Canby, and the outlying areas were under a level 2 alert because of the fires. Thank the Lord we've been downgraded. Both Canby and Oregon City have been downgraded to a level 1. While I say all that, my heart still goes out to those in Molalla, Molino, the outlying areas that have been evacuated. And I'm just asking all of us who are hearing this message today, wherever you are, be praying for our communities. Would you do that? Those that have experienced loss of property, and some have experienced loss of life. And so our hearts are broken. We want to stand with these people, but we know that God is bringing comfort to those that are calling on His name. So we want to continue to do that. We're also doing an online service only because of the air quality. We have the worst air quality right now in the world. And so we want everyone to stay home, stay safe, especially if you have respiratory issues. We don't want you to come out. We want you to stay safe, stay in your home. We're just praying for your health and your well-being. Another reason that we're on live today, just online, is because I really felt that we need to keep our staff and volunteers safe as well. When we come and we do a service every Sunday, we have quite a few help. We have quite a few people who help us. We have volunteers, we have staff. So today we just wanted to make sure they could stay home. Some have already evacuated. They're in different places around the area. So today, basically, you just have me. And that's what we have. We have a few people here that are really helping us pull this off. I want to thank Steve Gustafson, Mike Gill, and of course Annette's here. We're the only ones in the room right now, but we are determined to get God's hope and His word to you. And so we want to do that today. What we want to do is begin with prayer. So let's start with prayer this morning and ask the Lord just to bring us His grace. Father, we just thank You today for Your amazing grace in our life and how wonderful You are. We just ask that You continue to provide safety, that You continue to give direction and wisdom, especially to those that are on the front lines that are fighting this fire, for our law enforcement, for our for our firefighters, Lord. We just ask great grace and blessing. And Lord, for those that have been evacuated, we just pray, Lord, that You would bring Your comfort, Your provision. All that we need, we find in You. So today, Lord, we really do lean on You. We lean on Your grace and Your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say together, amen. Well, we are dealing with a lot this week. What happened this morning is our power actually went out here, and so we got everything back up and on and ready to go. So one thing after another, but here's the bottom line that I want to communicate to you. Whatever comes our way, we can be sure of this. He will never leave us. He will never, ever forsake us. And that's the thing that we want to hold on today. Listen, I know it's hard right now. It's difficult right now. But I want to encourage you, don't lose heart. God is for you no matter how bad things get. And if God is for us, there's nothing that can be against us. These are not just nice words that we're speaking here. These are words that are true. These words are sure. In the last 32 years that I've pastored in the Canby community in the area, I've been through the YK2, I've been through 9/11, the stock market crash of 08, and in recent months, COVID, racial tension, and now a fire. And I've seen and experienced God's steadfast and His constant love in His presence to all of us, that He's showing us that He does care, that He is present. So hold on to that. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. I want to say it again. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. My confidence in this does not rest in me. It doesn't rest in you. It certainly doesn't rest in our economy or our politicians. Our confidence is only in Jesus Christ. And if you can even continue to repeat that through the day and through the days to come, that my confidence is in Jesus Christ. It's His desired outcomes in all of this that we look forward to. I know it's hard right now. I know it's difficult to see ahead, but we look forward to the outcomes that God wants to bring, because I firmly believe that one of the greatest outcomes of all that we're experiencing right now, because God never wastes a crisis, one of the greatest outcomes is that he wants to bring an awakening, that he wants to bring a revival to his church, to his community. And what better place to start than in our hearts, and especially in this area? God spoke to this church community last fall on October 23rd that a major disruption was coming. In fact, major disruptions were coming. Disruptions in our economy, in our weather, all around the world. But these disruptions were designed not to destroy us, but in fact to refine us. Refining processes are always uncomfortable. I know for me, they've been uncomfortable for me. Having to look at what my priorities really are. The things that get stripped away during times like this, the testing that comes, the refining that comes, can be very, very difficult. So we look around with our natural eyes, and all we see with our natural eyes is chaos and violence and anarchy. It's right in our own backyard. But I want to challenge you to do this. I want to challenge you to look up, look beyond, and look deeper with your spiritual eyes. Because God is up to some amazing things. God is moving. And you've heard this before, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. I know it's difficult right now because all we're seeing is chaos, but I'm asking you to see his grace working. I'm asking you to lift up your head and choose to see God's grace working in your life, working in the lives of those that you love, in our community, and really our region. Because out of the dark and broken places, God does his excellent work. That God is amazing at taking what is broken, taking the most dark times, the darkest hours of our life, and turning them into something good. Isaiah the prophet, in Isaiah chapter 61, and I'm going to rephrase it just a little bit, but what God can do in our poverty, our brokenness, our captivity, our mourning, is that God raises up and he brings freedom, comfort, beauty, joy, and praise. And those are choices that we make. That's in Isaiah chapter 61. Just encourage you to go there. Pay attention to what the prophet is saying, because it really is applicable for us today. Again, I want you to be encouraged. And I want to speak to all those right now who have experienced some level of loss. Would you let us know? We want to help in any way we possibly can. If you've experienced loss of property, or anyone that you love has experienced that, or friends or people that you know, if there has especially been loss of life, people that you've been connected to, we weep with those who weep right now. We would like to know so that we can stand together with you, that we want to collectively come together and stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. We're not only wanting to help with the urgent, but also we're looking at helping for the long term. This is going to take some time. I remember several years ago, many of you remember the same, when Katrina hit our southern coast, how devastating that was. My friend Bill Roberts, myself, a few others headed down there immediately, and we saw the devastation, but we also knew that God was in the details. He was working. He was doing things that we could have never imagined. And the same is true today. God is working in some amazing ways. So just hold on to him, and we know that he's going to do a good work. So church, literally, when the smoke clears, there will be things to do ahead. And I think that what we need to pay attention to is how the Holy Spirit is leading us, how he's guiding us right now. Many of you have already jumped in. You've already began to help, providing food and shelter for those that don't have any food or shelter. And so to you, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for being a blessing in your community. Thank you for caring for others. Because I know right now, just an act of kindness, a simple act of kindness, makes all the difference in the world. It's really the hand of Jesus being extended to those who are experiencing loss. I know many have gotten a hold of me, and they've been asking me, what can I do to help? And again, I want to thank you for that heart that wants to reach out. And I'm just praying God blesses you for having a heart of generosity. let me give you just a few things that you can do during this time. First, and always, pray. Pray, pray, pray. I'm not sure where prayer has been on your priority list before this last 6 months, but I'm almost positive that it's moved to the top, because we need to seek a God who cares. We need to seek a God who can do something about the situations that we face, who can bring salvation. So pray. Pray for those who've been evacuated. Just continue to ask God's blessing and God's grace. I'm going to ask that you pray for our firefighters, our police officers. This last week, almost every day, I was able to spend time with our firefighters, with our police officers, and I am here to say that we are incredibly, incredibly blessed by such incredible and wonderful leaders. In the communities that have been evacuated, I do know for a fact that there are reinforcements that have come to those communities. Other outlying areas that aren't under a level 3 alert have come to the aid of those that are in the area of law enforcement and firefighters. And so we're so thankful for that. And so those that are, again, in Molalla, if you're listening to this, in Colton and Molino and those other outlying areas, Estacada, please know that we are praying for you and we're praying for God's provision. But remember, continue to pray for those firefighters and police officers. Secondly, you can do this. Keep an eye out. Be alert. Watch out for your neighbors. Just pay attention. See what's going on in your neighborhood. We want to be vigilant. We want to be alert. This isn't about being fearful or having anxiety. It's just paying attention. Watch out especially for maybe those that aren't able to altogether watch out for themselves. Maybe you have elderly parents. Maybe there are people in your family that are dealing with disabilities. Please pay attention. Check in with them every now and again. Give them a call. Let them know that you care and that you are available. We also know that Canby Center is really working in a lot of ways overtime right now, and they possibly need more help. So if you want to help and extend your services to Canby Center, go ahead, please do that. I know in some of the outlying areas, people in this church have volunteered at the fairgrounds. They've helped up at the community college. They're just working. They're just diving in, and they're helping others. So that is a way that you can help in this time that we desperately need help. You can also give. You've been faithful to do this. You can give to the 33 and a third fund. Many of you have been so faithful to do that. Again, let me remind you that one-third of that goes to the Dr. Davies Fund, which is being used right now by our firefighters, our police officers, our first responders, especially needed right now because they are experiencing, obviously, a lot more tragedy and trauma in people's lives. The other one-third goes to Canby Center, who I just mentioned. We want to help them out financially as much as we can. And then the last one-third comes to Canby Foursquare because our benevolent requests have risen as well. So we want to continue to be faithful there. Also, I just want to encourage you to continue to be faithful in your normal giving. You can do that right now by pressing the donate button. We need, right now is a time we really don't want to fall back. We want to push forward in our giving. I know it can be difficult. We're being stretched. It's challenging. We have felt it here at the church. Our families have felt it. We want to keep being faithful to give to others, and especially to the body of Christ and those who are in need. Now, with those things that we can do, let me just give you a few things that you shouldn't do. I want to caution you here. First of all, again, I'm going to reiterate this. Do not lose heart. So don't lose heart. God is here. He is with us. He's faithful. He's working in all that we see going on around us. Secondly, be careful. Don't judge and criticize others. I don't want to add to the animosity or bitterness that people are experiencing. We want to refrain from judging and criticizing those that are around us. I want to have a clean heart. I want to have a pure heart before my friends and my neighbors. So typically, I know most of that happens on social media. Use social media as a platform to let the light of Jesus shine. Let Jesus shine. That's a choice that we can make right now. So I'm just going to ask in your words, in your action, that you let Jesus shine. Thirdly, don't believe everything that you hear. I've been getting a lot of phone calls and emails about certain things people are hearing. I understand some of maybe the fear that's there. But listen, everything you hear isn't true. And especially the second part of this is don't repeat everything that you hear. Listen, our police officers and our firefighters are doing an incredible job. And a lot, and I'm going to say even most of what you hear on social media isn't really true. I'm just going to say that up front. The police officers, firefighters have reported different things to me. We've had discussions. We want to make sure that we're not contributing to chaos, but we're giving our lives in peace. And we want to instill peace in the comfort of Jesus Christ. And lastly, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. God is in control. So today what I want to do is I just want to bring you, and really this is the conclusion of 1 Peter, and we're going to finish with chapter 5, verses 10 through 14, and how appropriate this is. Who would have thought back in the fall when we chose 1 Peter, and later on we're going to be moving into 2 Peter, who would have thought that we would be facing the things that we're facing today? And the title of the series, Steadfast, really holds true, resonates with me. So I want to read to you 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 through 14. And I'm just praying that it really penetrates your heart, that you would get a hold of this, because it is God's word that brings comfort to us today. Here's what it says. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. This is the scripture verse that we used to come up with this title, Steadfast. And in fact, Peter, what he's doing is he's summarizing everything he said previously. He's summarizing what he's already said in the first part of chapter 5 and 4 and 3, 2 and 1. So what he's doing is he's giving us a summary, and he goes on, to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, he's speaking of unbelievers, chosen, an unbelieving community or world is what he's speaking of, chosen together with you, sends her greetings. And so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all who are in Christ Jesus. The Babylon that he refers to there is Rome. That's just where they were. That's where a lot of persecution was happening. And he just sends out from that community, he sends out a greeting from the Christians. But what I want you to look at here with me is just a few things to keep our soul anchored, especially right now, today, in the time that we live. Number one is always, and keep in front of you, God's character. Remember God's character in all that you face right now. And what does Peter say? He says, and the God of all grace. This is one of the greatest titles given to God, the God of all grace. You know, Paul refers to God as the God of all comfort. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. And Peter chooses to say he is the God of all grace. And I'm sure that has to do with his experience, as all have experienced God's grace if they come to faith in Jesus Christ. But Peter, one who was rough around the edges, one who experienced the forgiveness of Jesus in his own life, what does he say? The thing that stands out most in his life about God is he is the God of all grace. And so we're worshiping and we're serving a God of great grace. In fact, in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, God is talking to Moses. They're in this discussion, and Moses is asking God, who do I say sent me? And you know, that's the place where he says, you can say, I am has sent you. But he says something even more. He says, I am the God of mercy and grace. So even back in the book of Exodus, God is being known and recognized as the God of all grace. See, the one thing that Peter wanted to leave his audience with is that their God is a God of all grace. I think that's important for us today because oftentimes we can forget that, especially in the middle of crisis, especially in the middle of a lot of chaos. We forget that we serve a God of great and wonderful grace. The psalmist said it in Psalm 86:15. He says, "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." Hold on to that, because this is the very covenant that God has entered with us. It's a covenant of unmerited favor. That's really what grace means. So under the law, God demands righteousness from man. Under grace, God gives righteousness to man. Under the law, righteousness is based on our good works. Under grace, it's based on His good and finished work on the cross. To that, I say a big amen. And under the law, it only takes one sin to make you and me a sinner. Under grace, it only took one Savior to fix it all. I want you to remember that, to hold on to the grace of God. You see, God treated Jesus on the cross like you deserve to be treated, so He can treat you like Jesus deserves to be treated. Just remember, we serve a God of great grace. Something else you need to know about this passage of Scripture, it's God's character, but it's God's condition. Listen, we don't just get grace because we're alive. We don't enjoy God's blessing because we simply breathe. Grace is something that comes because we've invited Jesus Christ in our life. That's what Peter says. He says, by Christ Jesus. He says there's a condition to this grace. There's a condition to eternal life, and that's found in Jesus Christ. Can't say it any clearer than that, that we need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. And I want to say to those that haven't come to that place yet of experiencing the grace of Jesus Christ in your life, you can do that by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. You can do that. That's how you experience and get to live out grace and looking forward to eternal life. It's because of Jesus. We don't enjoy these things because we're so good. This isn't a matter of how hard we work. You don't get to heaven just by being born. You get to heaven by being born again. And that's very clear with what Peter speaks to us here. You take Jesus Christ, you take the whole package. The grace to live through all the tough stuff that you're going through right now with the promise of the glory that will follow in eternity with Him forever. So we have God's character, we have God's condition, but we also have God's curriculum. And this can be the hard part of our journey with Jesus Christ, because Peter says, after you've suffered a little while. Sometimes I just wish that wasn't in the Bible, but it is. And we do suffer. If you haven't already, you will. We do. That's part of the human journey, is there is suffering. Pain happens to every single person, but purposeful pain happens only to the children of God. So I want to encourage you today, take the pain that you might be going through right now and make it purposeful. Allow it to benefit your life and the lives of those around you. Allow it to benefit the community that you're part of. That when you go through suffering, that God wants to and seems like the light of Jesus Christ shines the most when we go through times of suffering and we call out on the name of Jesus. Suffering is God's way of teaching us. When he said, Paul said, there's a thorn in my flesh, he was referring to that means a sharp impaling stick. That Paul went through this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. He talks about a thorn in the flesh, something that he was suffering with. It implies that God had given that to him, not to hurt him, not to do him harm, but for his good, so that he would learn, and through him others would learn as well. And that's really what I hope happens, that my life is a living letter. Paul says that as well, that my life, that our lives as believers should be a living letter, something that people can actually see. It's a marquee, it's a billboard that says Jesus is Lord. that Jesus is the Lord of my life. And that's what happens when we walk through times of suffering. God means it for our good. Now listen, Satan always wants to destroy, but God wants to use suffering to develop us. A deliberate process that God puts us through. It's God's curriculum. And the last thing that I want to say here is it's about God's commitment. God's commitment to us. What does it say here? I love what it talks about, what Peter says. For the God of all grace is going to do this. After you suffered a little while, which is curriculum, he's committed to you to restore you, to make you strong, firm, and steadfast. God uses these words through Peter with great intention. In fact, these four words or phrases are more synonyms, that he's trying to reinforce something. God's wanting to say something to you, that he's committed to you not to leave you alone, not to let you figure this out on your own, but that what God wants to do is he wants to restore you. First of all, so if there's a brokenness in your life, one of the words, therefore, restore, is similar to the word that Jesus used on the cross when he said, teleos. It is finished. It's been perfected. The word here, restore, the phrase restore you, means that he's wanting to make you like Jesus Christ. That through life and through life's journey and trial and suffering, there's brokenness that comes. There's pain that comes. And God wants to use that to make us more like Jesus Christ, so that our pain and suffering isn't in vain, that he wants to perfect us until the day he comes back. He wants to work in our lives. And then the next word or phrase is to make us strong. It means that we could bear weight. That's what it really means. It means that we can bear more weight, not in a natural sense, but in a supernatural sense, that we can bear more weight. We have a greater capacity to walk through difficult times because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And then there's the two words, firm and steadfast. What that's speaking of is the foundation that we rest on. The Bible says he is our rock, he's our fortress, he's our foundation. That's what Peter is referring to here. And the believers of his day would have had that imagery, would have had that picture of Jesus being a firm foundation. So the foundation that we stand on so that we can be steadfast is the person and work of Jesus Christ, that he is the rock of our salvation. And so we need to be reminded today that there is a benefit, a personal benefit and an eternal benefit for the things that we face, for what we've gone through in the last 6 months. Who would have imagined it would be so concentrated with the things that are happening now? But please remember, in all of this mix, God wants to do a good work, and he is doing a good work. So I'm going to ask you today to please choose to see his grace. See his grace working in your life. See his grace working in community. And I know God will do a good work. Remember, God's character is grace. God's condition, Jesus Christ. God's curriculum is suffering. God's commitment to you is he will make you steadfast. So next week, God willing, we will have our 11 o'clock service, and we'll also be having our junior high and high school. They'll be gathering in building number one. So please don't lose heart. Be strong and know that God is faithful. Let me pray. Father, we want to thank you today for your faithfulness. I want to thank you for this church community, that we do choose to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask for those that are suffering, some suffering more than others right now. I just pray in Jesus' name that you would bring your encouragement, your provision, your hope. Lord, we need you now. Our heart chooses to look beyond the chaos and the violence and the hopelessness of the world that we live in. We choose to look beyond to see what you're up to. We want to see where your hand is working. We want to see where your spirit is going. We want to follow you. Give us wisdom and discernment in the days that we live. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say together, amen. Again, wherever you are, God bless you and keep you today. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canby4square.com.